John chapter 1, hold your finger there, and also John chapter 5. And verses 19 through 29. John 5, verses 19 through 29. Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath. And as he healed a man on the Sabbath and found himself in the temple, he is persecuted and in a way prosecuted by the Jews about these things, and he answers these Jews by saying, "My Father worketh even until now, and I work." And this incites the anger of those who heard him. They seek to kill him because they understood that this was a claim to full, complete, true deity on the part of Jesus Christ. And instead of backing down from anything that he had said or done, Jesus doubles down. And he says in verse 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner." And Jesus goes on to explain that claim, and we'll seek to understand the Lord Jesus here, and how he speaks of himself and the Father, and by implication as well, the Spirit. But the point that Jesus is simply making here, or the one point that he is seeking to underscore, is that the Son and the Father and the Spirit, because they are the one God, do the works of the one God. It seems like it's something that is obvious to say, maybe even too obvious to say, and yet we say it and seek to understand it, not without some difficulty because of the limitations of our human frame and human minds. But it is this: that the works of the Holy Trinity are just that. They are the works of the Holy Trinity. The God who is one in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, to use the language of the Athanasian Creed. Now, we have difficulty understanding this because we are creatures. Even worse, because our minds are affected by the corruption of sin. But we struggle to understand because God is not like us. He is not a man. He is not a creature. He is God. But the Scriptures teach, and we believe, that God does what he does precisely as God. Again, that seems obvious to say, simple to say even, but difficult for us to understand. Precisely because there is nothing under the sun, nothing in heaven or upon earth like unto God. God is, again, one in Trinity, Trinity in unity. The three persons of the Holy Trinity just are God, and each person, though distinguished from the others in a particular way, is in fact true God. Each one has that one undivided essence. And God just is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, what God does with respect to his creatures and his creation, God does. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one undivided essence, and so there is one undivided divine operation. And we see this in the scriptures, not only here in John 5 as Jesus explains his work of healing on the Sabbath, but as Jesus explains his giving of resurrection life, of which that healing on the Sabbath was a foretaste, as Jesus gives resurrection life to sinners, that this is the work of Father and Son undividedly, inseparably. It's true also of the work of creation, and in fact, this is the very note on which the Gospel of John begins. We read John chapter 1, and we'll look at that momentarily, but there, we are told that nothing was made without the Son. The Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, creates everything, and yet so does the Son, and so does the Spirit. And it's important that we think about this morning and draw attention to at least these two passages of Scripture, and others will be mentioned as well, but that we draw attention to these things precisely in the context of our study of an Orthodox catechism. We're transitioning from what the catechism has just taught us concerning the Trinity itself in questions at least 23 and 24, following upon the words of the Creed in question 22, talks about the division of the Creed and the parts of the Creed, and it's divided along Trinitarian lines. The first section dealing with the Eternal Father and our creation, the second, the Son and our redemption, the third, the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. And then question 24, seeing there is but one only substance of God, why do you name those three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And the answer is because God has manifested himself in his word that these three distinct persons are that one true everlasting God. The scriptures, as the catechism reminds us, speak of God who is one, God who is one in three. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. There is one maker of heaven and earth, one redeemer of sinners, one who sanctifies us. And yet, the scriptures also speak in a way, as made clear in question 23, and as made clear even in questions 25 through 27 concerning God the Father and our creation, the scriptures speak in appropriate ways of personal works, of the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. But it speaks this way of Father, Son, and Spirit, not because the three are a kind of agency, a corporation, if you will, who coordinate together to perform one work. But it speaks this way because the three who work are one. And the one who works is 3. Again, it's difficult for us to understand this. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around it. And we'll spend all of our earthly pilgrimage seeking to understand it. But this is what the scriptures teach, and so we believe, and so we seek to understand. The scriptures speak then, when it speaks of the Father personally, it speaks of him not exclusively as if he is independent ever, either in terms of who he is or what he does, but it speaks of him appropriately as the Father, even as it speaks of him, of the Son appropriately and the Spirit appropriately. But what Jesus teaches us in John 5, what's underscored in John 1 and throughout the scriptures, is that all the works of the Holy Trinity are the works of the undivided Trinity. There is one author of creation, one author of redemption, because there is one divine power. And yet, this one divine power is that of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, there are two things that we need then to understand this morning and seek to understand them from the text of Holy Scripture, John 5 and John 1. The first thing that we need to acknowledge is the truth regarding the inseparable operations of the one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work the same work because they not only have the same power, but because they are the one God. The Trinity is not a team, not a corporation, not a group that comes together and decides to do something for creatures, either in creation or redemption. The power of God, moreover, is not a distributed power. The Father gets one aspect of it, the Son gets another aspect of it, and the Spirit gets another aspect of it. They are the same God. They each have the same essence. They are of the one, or are of one power and eternity, to use the language of the Nicene Creed. That technical term of the same substance, that technical term translated of the same power and of the same eternity. These words, though not in themselves biblical words, express biblical truth. Jesus himself will say in John 10, "I and the Father are one." We're told in John chapter 1, as we read this morning, that there is never a time, if we can even speak that way, of an eternal God. There never was when the Son or the Word was not. In the beginning, at the very moment in which God brought all things into existence, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, a distinct person, with the Father, is also not of like substance as the Father, but of the same substance as the Father. He is God. The same was in the beginning with God. Here we have included in John's very opening words statements which speak to us of the holy mystery of the fact that the Son is God, just as the Father is God. But they are not one and the same person. The Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son. And hard on the heels of this statement of both unity and distinction, John tells us all things were made through Him, that is, through the Word, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. A very strong way of putting the matter. That the Word is just as the Father, the divine Creator. Without Him was not anything made that hath been made. The Father, again, is not an independent agent, but Father and Son are agents of creation. But there is one divine, one Trinitarian, we might say, agency, power. Not an agency like a marketing agency, right, where there are multiple employees who work together, but agency just in terms of power. There is one divine power that's not distributed, but it is the same power precisely because Father and Son are of the same essence. They are one, and so what they do is one. And this is true not only of creation, but it is true of resurrection. John 5. Again, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath, and in the temple he is questioned, he is persecuted, because those who heard him heard a claim to deity. Not a deity that was a lesser deity, but one of equality, verse 18. And Jesus then goes on to say, using strong language, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." This isn't the statement of inability on the part of the eternal Son. It's not a statement of dependence upon the Father, but it's a statement of unity. When he says the Son can do nothing of himself, he's not saying he can do nothing, but he is stating negatively that all that he does as the Son of the Father. And precisely he says this, but what he seeth the Father doing. And this seeing is not a seeing of imitation. But this language takes us back to another place in John's opening prologue in John chapter 1. No man, verse 18, hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Not only do we have here a contrast with respect to us of seeing God versus hearing Him declared by the Son, but we have here as well, implied in the statement that no man has seen God, that the one who is in His bosom, or that is in the bosom of the Father, namely the only begotten Son, He sees Him. He sees Him and declares Him. Or He declares Him because He sees Him. Jesus will go on to say later to those who wish to see the Father, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so, to speak of the Son doing what he sees the Father doing is to say that Son and Father do one and the same work because they are of one and the same essence. Common essence, common operations. Again, not distributed, but one. And Jesus explains, for what things soever he doeth, that is the Father, these the Son also doeth in like manner. Jesus states with incredibly strong language that they do the same work. They create. Here, as he'll say, they heal. They give resurrection life. Even in like manner. The Son's operation is not independent of the Father, but is inseparable from the Father because he is one with the Father. And Jesus explains with respect to divine love, verse 20. He explains with respect to the raising of the dead, verse 21. As the Father raiseth the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. Divine judgment. Verses 22 and following. Precisely verse 23, that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. There is a end to these inseparable operations of the Holy Trinity, and it is worship, honor, reverence. Jesus states boldly, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Those blessed words that the one who hears Jesus' word and believes the Father that sent him has eternal life, comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. There are many who will hear the voice of the Son, and they that hear shall live. They're one. Jesus says it again in verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Jesus, the Son, is of the same essence as the Father and is then of the same power as the Father and does the same or is of the same agency of the Father. The operations of God, the works of God, are inseparable. And this is a truth attested here in Scripture, taught in Scripture. And though it may be unfamiliar to us, it's not unfamiliar to generations of Christians past. And it is something that on the basis of John 5 as well as John 1 and even what the Scriptures teach, for example, in Romans 8 regarding the resurrection of Christ by the Spirit, that these are things that have been confessed from the earliest centuries of the church, stated clearly and succinctly by the likes of Augustine, to our Reformed forebearers. And though not confessed with the same vigor or confessed with the same conviction in our day and age, these things are true. It is true that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit work not as independent agents, but they work according to that one divine power that the Father has, that the Son has, and the Spirit has. An undivided power of the undivided Godhead. Even if we think of Paul's language in Romans 11, at the end of that chapter, as he speaks of all things being of God, through God, unto God. All things creation, all things redemption, all things resurrection, all things judgment, all things even worship are of the one God who is one in Trinity, through the one God who is one in Trinity, and unto the one God who is one in Trinity. The operations of the Godhead then are inseparable operations. But secondly, we also need to understand, and this is evident in the language of John 1 and John 5, the texts before us this morning, that this divine operation is also marked by what we might call, and what has been called, personal appropriations. Personal appropriations. Not a division of essence, not a division of power, as if three of us got together and said, all right, you do this one thing, I'll do this one thing, and someone else does one other thing. They all do one thing by one power, but they do so in a way, in a manner or a mode that reflects exactly who they are or who God is. Again, God is one in Trinity. He's not one who just kind of shows himself at different times and in different ways to be three or Trinity, the error of modalism. But he is one in Trinity. And so he acts as one in Trinity. Creation is the work of the Holy Trinity, in that it is the work of the one God from the Father, through the Son, or in or by the Spirit. Even the language of John's prologue reflects this concerning creation. The same, that is, the same word, was in the beginning with God, verse 2, all things were made through him. Not as if he's a mere instrument or mere agent of the Father, because he is God, just as the Father is God. There's no subordination in God. But there is a manner of working that reflects that the Son is the Son of the Father. That the Son is not the Father, but is the only begotten of the Father. And this is precisely why the Catechism speaks as it does of creation and providence with respect to the Father. Here in questions 25 through 27. The Catechism is not suggesting that only the Father is Almighty Creator, but creation and providence, the sustaining of the world, these works are attributed to him in a way that is appropriate to him as the one person of the Holy Trinity, from whom the Son and the Spirit have their, we might say, personal subsistence in the Godhead. Again, the manner or the mode of God's working reflects the mode of the subsistence of the persons. The Father is unbegotten. He is of none. The Son is of the Father, begotten of the Father before all ages. Not created, not made, but eternally begotten. And the Spirit is of the Father and the Son. He proceeds from both. And so, in their mode of operation, that is, in how God executes his works, in how he, the one God who is one in Trinity, works all things, works appropriately, works according to this mode of subsistence, such that we can say that all things are from the Father, through the Son, in or by the Holy Spirit. God subsists, God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, the Father is of none unbegotten. The Spirit is begotten of the Father, John 1 and verse 14. And the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, John 14, 26 and John 15, 26. And so all that God does shows this, manifests this to us. Such that when Jesus speaks in John 5 of what he does, he speaks again not as if his work is independent of the Father. It is the same work by the same power, but in a way that is appropriate unto him as the Son. As the one who has his own life from the Father, verse 26, as he has life in himself from the Father, a statement of eternal generation, so he acts as the one who has life from in himself from the Father. He raises the dead this way. He gives life to the dead this way. He gives us eternal life this way. The Father gives us eternal life. The Son gives us eternal life. The Spirit gives us eternal life. The one God bestows upon you and me as sinners eternal life. And that life is from the Father, through the Son, in or by the Holy Spirit. The Son who proceeds by way of eternal generation from the Father and does so eternally. Again, there's never a when he was not. But the Son who is begotten of the Father before all worlds gives life to us from the Father. There is a manner of working then that reflects the very manner of subsistence or existence of the persons of the Holy Trinity. It reflects their distinction, not a distinction of one being a greater God or a lesser God, but distinction within the divine essence as each having that one undivided essence. And all as the author and giver of eternal life, the Father gives us eternal life through the Son by the Spirit. The Son gives us life from the Father and by the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life from the Father and through the Son. I know that this is difficult. It's even difficult for me to say And I hesitate to say anything because I don't want to say anything that is contrary to truth. But though our speech might be halting, and must be, because it's easier for us to say what God is not than what He is. It's easier for us to say, make clarifications and distinctions and say, well, it's not that and it's not that. It's so much harder to say, much more difficult to say, this is what it is and what it's like. Though all of that is true, the limitations of our minds, the finitude of our understanding notwithstanding, this is something we confess to be true on the basis of Holy Scripture. And it's something we should confess with joy and delight. To know that the Father raises the dead and gives life to the dead. The Father raises us from the dead. He gives us eternal life. And on the last day, He will raise our bodies from the dead. And so also the eternal Son gives us the very same life and also raises us from the dead. And the Spirit gives us life and raises us from the dead. Saying these things and acknowledging these things is difficult, but faith necessitates that we say them. And faith necessitates that we seek to understand them. And even true worship necessitates that we believe them and seek to understand these truths. Not only because it is necessary for us to honor the Son even as we would honor the Father, but precisely because this one God, who is Spirit, makes us true worshipers who would worship the Father, who would worship the Son, who would worship the Holy Spirit in spirit and truth. John 4. God made us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made us. The Father, through the Son, and in the Spirit, made us. And He made us that we might know Him. He made us that we might worship Him. But in Adam, we failed, we sinned. But this same God who made us gives us life, eternal life. And if we hear the Son of the Father, we will have that life. And we will live forever in the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if we don't hear the Son speaking to us the things that He sees from the Father, then we will be raised unto judgment. Marvel not at this, Jesus says in verse 28, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Though it is difficult for us to understand the inseparable operations and personal appropriations of the divine works, these things regarding the mystery of the working of the Holy Trinity, this is the rub of the matter. Do we hear the voice of the Son now? And do we believe? The good that Jesus speaks of here is good that is either just faith or the good that flows from faith. The evil of which he speaks here is certainly the evil of unbelief. And perhaps even includes all of those evils that proceed forth from the unbelieving heart. However we read those statements, the reality is true. That if we do not hear the voice of the Son now in faith, we will hear the voice of the Son on that day in judgment. But my friend, know this. God raises the dead. God freely, of his own grace, gives eternal life. Not to the deserving, but to sinners. The God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gives life. And the life that he gives is from the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. The Father gives life. The Son gives life. The Spirit gives life. The Father gives life through the Son and in the Spirit. The Son gives life from the Father and in the Spirit. The Spirit gives life from the Father through the Son. If you understand nothing else, understand this. The life that you need is life from God and life with God. And dear believer, know this. That these signs and seals of our Lord's broken body and shed blood speak of that life which God has given you. Life, again, you've not deserved, but life which is from him and through him and unto him. And in that sense, not only is this a reminder of the life, eternal life that you now have in virtue of God's grace, in virtue of God's working, the working of the Holy Trinity, but this is a foretaste of the life to come, in which you will dwell at that great wedding feast of the Lamb. And you will behold the face of the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the God who, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, made you, sustains you, and gives you life, even resurrection. And so, though we do not understand, let us come in faith, trusting in this same God who made us, who sustains us, who saves us and gives us life. Let us come, trusting in him, looking to him, and resting in his Son, who for us and for our salvation took upon himself our flesh, and lived and died and rose again as a man, so that you and I, as sinful men, might have life eternal. Let's pray.